Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
You're very welcome back. Tom Dunn with you, News Talk 106. I thought you were going straight into the fantastic Sting. They saw you were an adult Sting. There is none. Still none. I'm very disappointed with that. I can't believe a slot as popular as this hasn't got its own Sting at this point. I'm just stunned. So anyway, you're welcome back to the slot that has no Sting, so you think you're an adult. As always, Declan Buckley is here to give us his worldly advice. And this week, Alistair Carroll joins as well. Alistair, how are you today?
Lovely. I'm really well, and it's lovely to be back.
Lovely to see you. Back, both looking very healthy and
fresh.
You
know, and
fresh.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, particularly fresh. Tanned. And were you away?
I think Ida has a bit of a tan as well. She's telling me she has a lovely tan from Donegal.
Donegal. I was in Donegal last week when the weather was just
stunning.
Absolutely
so
gorgeous.
Where would you be?
Took a road trip.
You could be anywhere. Everybody's walking around saying the same. Where would you get it?
Yeah.
Where there's sun. Where there's sun, actually.
Because anywhere in Ireland, I mean, really, any
it
coastline
is.
In Ireland, there is nothing to touch it because it's so uncommercialised. You can't get an ice cream, can't get a cup of coffee, can't find a loo.
Or not
Brass
Spritz.
You wonder why there aren't more people.
But when you get the sunshine, oh
yes,
my God, it is
true.
Fantastic.
It
and
makes
it was just
all
so
the difference.
It is great. Yeah. Well, it's a very positive start.
See, no sting in this show.
Who needs a sting?
We have a
positivity. So I'll go straight in for our first question. This poor listener needs our help. And if you, by the way, if you have further questions, 53106 is the text number. A listener says, I recently got engaged to the absolute love of my life. We have been together for 5 years and he popped the question to me last month. I love this man so much, so please don't judge me for what I'm about to say. 2 years ago, my fiancé damaged his teeth during a hurling match, resulting in his front tooth turning black. I don't think of myself as a particularly shallow person, but I'd be lying if I said I'm not worried about our wedding photographs. Would it be mean of me to ask him to have some dental work done to restore his beautiful smile before our big day? A lot in there, isn't
it? Well, I actually think, look, go and ask him to have his to have the tooth, you know, restored, because I don't think it's an unreasonable request. He didn't. I mean, she's been with him 5 years and the accident happened 2 years ago, yeah? So it hasn't really bothered her until he popped the question. But at the same time, a wedding day is a very special day. And I'm sure if she puts it to him nicely, would he consider having his tooth done? Because if the shoe was on the other foot, would he like her to do something like that? So, yeah. Just
right,
go
straight in, just
straight
say it to
in,
him.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah. Look, I think that she phrased her question really well in that she's saying, you know, she knows it sounds like it's a shallow kind of thing to be talking about the aesthetics, about the person that you love. But this is a wedding picture. The options are, now let's look at this. Is it only about the wedding picture? Because if it is, you know, there is a thing called Photoshop. You can get an old, you know,
that's
brush
true.
In there, you know, and your picture's sorted. But it's you know, that's fine and good. You could get that done. Everybody would know, you know, so which means that they'd start looking at her as well to see how much of an old tweak she got as well.
Yeah.
So maybe she doesn't want that. So because we can all do with our skin being kind of, you know, evened out in post-production.
A little bit thinner.
But I think, look, I think it's like, it isn't unreasonable to say, you know, yeah, you're too dumb.
How
like
do you do it though? Is it that not going to be a hard conversation?
I don't know.
How do you bring
not
up that topic? Look, before
I haven't seen a dentist in 40 years. I don't know.
I know. I've been to the dentist recently
so
and I'm actually
I.
going back again next week. So, yeah. I don't know. See, I how badly damaged? I mean, the fact that it's discoloured.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he's better off losing the tooth anyway.
It sounds like the tooth will be gone.
To me, it sounds like the tooth is gone.
Yeah. Or just, or I think it might just
work.
Be that the nerves just, or whatever it is that's feeding the thing just are dead.
Yeah.
But, you know. But
just a crown, come on.
Yeah. And slap on an old crown there.
What you're saying, I really do, you know,
crown
agree with
or an
what
implant.
You're saying. But I just
a lot
feel
of money could be.
That is something that's worth thinking about. Is the idea of some kind of a physical intervention and the cost that would involve more important than other places where that money could go?
Well,
and that's on that hierarchy of what you want out of your life.
Yeah.
And if it's up near the top, and some people's top choices are particularly kind of shallow and kind of aesthetic.
They're not
whatever.
Photoshopping, for instance. That
well,
wouldn't be.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like no
that's
difference.
The same thing. That's
and
a
wedding picture is all, you know, she's going to have to look at that picture on her mantelpiece for the rest of her life.
He has to get the tooth done.
Black tooth.
I mean, realistically, come on.
He really does have to have the tooth.
It's common.
And for him, he'll get his tooth fixed, and I mean, maybe he'll
Listen, if the cost is prohibitive and it means it has a huge impact on the size of wedding they have or where they hold their wedding, that might change her mind.
Exactly.
For instance, she may have to have a marquee instead of a hotel, right? And 10 yeah. people instead of 100. Now, that might change her mind.
Yeah. Dental work isn't that expensive.
I love your black tooth and all, right? So
yeah, exactly. Who's the tooth for?
I mean, if you ever try to do a fake photograph where you put a bit of black gaff tape over your
yes.
front teeth,
yes,
that's what these photographs come to be like. If
I know
careful.
It is. You know, so, you should try it.
But like you said, it's not only about the photograph, because if it was only about the photograph, you know, if a bit of Photoshop isn't that difficult to do, you can make anybody's wedding picture have yeah. like, you know, the sparkle
to be
that
fair,
you want.
I think it is only about the photograph, because she clearly says here that he is the love of her life and she's been going out with him for five. They've been together 5 years and it's only recently he actually asked her to get married. So I actually think, yeah, it is only about the photo, and that's why she's even bringing in that yeah. word. I hope you don't judge me. I'm not really
yeah.
a shallow person.
Yeah, yeah, I agree,
but
yeah.
it's just kind of her wish list. And I understand that. I really do understand it.
You just get, you know, say, explore the tooth yeah. fixing
you,
scenario.
You thank me in years to come. But if yeah. you had your tooth done before the photographs.
Yeah. Mummy, why does daddy have no teeth?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, your children, your grandchildren will look back on these photographs.
What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say it to him, Mammy? You know, so say it is the bottom line there, yeah. If she pays for the dental work, then why not say it? All right.
Absolutely.
God, that's escalated now. He probably fixed the tooth eventually. And you regret the bad tooth in the forever photographs, or just don't smile with an open mouth.
I think some people aren't that bothered by their physical appearance anyway, and so maybe he hasn't got to the point where he sees it as being an urgent thing. But if he's going to get it done, getting it done now when he's younger rather than much later is just a no-brainer.
And obviously she didn't have a thing about it either until the wedding came
up.
Yeah,
she's thinking about that image.
You know, again, 2 years ago, she hasn't said, oh, you have to get that tooth seen to immediately.
Or I'm out the door.
Or I'm out the door, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'm kind of, I love the way she phrased it.
Yeah, me too.
And so I'm going, go girl.
Go girl.
Get
right.
your tooth done, mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On to number two now. And odour in the office is the, I started working in the office again full time after working from home for over 2 years. I work in a really small office with a tiny window. There are six of us crammed into this room. With that bit of context, let me explain my dilemma. One of my colleagues has a really bad issue with body odour. It's honestly unbearable working 8 hours a day in this tiny space and contending with this smell. I don't know what to do because the girl is so nice. It's a girl, huh? I don't want to cause her humiliation by bringing it up to management. Wow. But I can't go on working like this. What should I do?
This is a very awkward situation because it's not just the interpersonal side of it, that, you know, where you're trying to confront an awkward social situation with somebody that you just met or somebody you're interacting with. You're doing so inside the workplace, which brings with it a whole load of other kind of dangers and kind of limitations to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And that's where the management role comes into play. I mean, it really is there. If the behaviour or the activity or the odour of a fellow colleague is impacting other people in the office, it's not really something that you can safely, unless you're really close, unless you're actually good friends.
Absolutely.
It's not something that you can approach without causing difficulty.
Yeah.
So I think from my point of view, I go, this is always a really dodgy one, because it's your opinion about how somebody else smells versus, you know, there's no kind of de facto kind of, you can get tested and you come up positive for a stink. So it's not really that, you know, it is your own personal opinion. So therefore, it's going to be fraught with kind of emotional stuff. So my view is, if somebody else agrees with you that this is a problem, then maybe it is something you talk to management about. If you can talk to the person about it in an indirect way and you can approach it very kind of sensitively, maybe that might be something you could do as well. But I think in an office place, that could end up exploding back onto you in a really negative way.
So you're saying go to management then?
Yeah.
Are you really? Right, okay.
Well, see, I'm not sure. I mean, I have worked in an environment where somebody beside me, sat right beside me, had a body odour problem. And I mean bad. It is, I'm female as well.
Mm.
And I thought, how do you handle it? How do I say it to her? And I didn't, right? Because other people noticed it as well. Because when it came to, I was working as a telephonist at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came to somebody else sitting beside her, they'd be, you know,
yeah.
Oh, God, that's bad. Now, she had a medical condition.
Sure.
Right.
So management did take it on board. They did actually say, look, we'll have to very quietly and very delicately, not, you know, it doesn't have to be a committee meeting. You know, somebody takes her aside and says, I've no doubt you are aware that you have an odour problem.
Sure.
Is it medical? Right. Because you can actually get some medication to help. But I mean, it may not be her fault. So it's a very, very
It's a really difficult one to go for. Which is why I'm saying, like, unless you're actually good pals with the person sitting beside you to say, I can't put this call through because you're putting me off. You know, it's kind of like, you know.
Well, she says, you know, she worked with her and she's a really nice person.
Nice girl,
so she must know her reasonably well, even to make that statement. So it's about having the confidence, I suppose, and the words. How do you say something like that to somebody?
Is humour a little...
No.
You know,
I think
you can't go opening windows and saying, what perfume
are you using? I'd change it if I was you. I mean, it's humour.
But the problem with that is that if it's taken in the wrong way, you can then be reported to management for some kind of like bullying or whatever it is. And that's what I meant. That's the fraud thing. Because in a normal, outside of the workplace, social way, you can just handle it whatever way is comfortable for you. And for me, it definitely would be humour. Mm. But for other people, it's like, you know, they only want to hear facts. They don't want to hear opinions. And they want to go... Yeah. It's really difficult. I think that's why I think the safest place...
You seem to be both leaning towards management. I mean,
well, you see,
you
I think it is, yeah, because otherwise it could be taken as a personal dig. And management, you know, really should be handling this kind of thing. They're going to be able to know themselves, hopefully, how many other people in the office are bothered by it. And if it's only one person, then it's the one person would have to just
suck it up.
And
also from the management's point of view of speaking to their employee, it's part of the development of that person. If they're not aware of it or if they want to progress within the organisation, it is part of the whole thing. It is that thing about, you know, we know about this. Let's kind of find a way to help you sort this out.
Yeah.
And did you get the problem solved?
We did get it solved, actually, I mean, the girl was very... I mean, she didn't speak to me about it, right? She didn't speak to anybody about it. But I obviously got feedback and said, look, that thing has been handled. Mm-hmm. It is a medical problem.
Sure.
And she's gone back to her doctors and hopefully that will be resolved. So you can ask for no more than that, right? And then after that, I didn't, you know, if I sat beside her, I sat beside her. And if there was a smell, there was a smell and you lived with it.
Right.
But I didn't have to sit beside her for 8 hours.
Okay.
And that was the difference.
So you both very sensibly saying management. I'll just throw one bit of humour into this because some of the listeners obviously want to
know. We need it because it's a very serious...
Buy her a small plant for her desk and if the plant dies, then she might get the hint.
That's cruel. That is cruel.
Well, go to management. that's from Ed. Good man, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Yes. On to our next one. So, I was brought up in a very religious household, a staunch household, some would say. Once I went to college and started getting more independent, I found my religion began to fall away, surprisingly easily, actually. However, when I would return home, I would engage again with it, just to have when I was growing up. Rosaries, morning mass, weekends, regular confessions. I'm out of the house 9 years now and I find when I go home I need to keep up this pretense. I lie to my parents about my lifestyle as I know they wouldn't really approve. I know if I tell my parents the truth that religion doesn't really mean that much to me anymore, then it would really hurt them. And so I desperately don't want to do that. I don't want to let them down, but I feel they don't know the real me. I'm the only daughter of 7 children and I feel that they hold me to a different standard to my brothers. How do I let them into my world without shattering theirs? That's a hard one for
you now.
That's
a very, very hard one because we're all Irish Catholics. I don't know. I'm assuming we've all been brought up in a very Catholic upbringing. I have probably more so than your... Because I'm a lot older than you.
I know.
So I can remember the days where, you know, it was very much rosaries in the morning rosaries in the evening and mass every, you know, every other day, if you can make it. But obviously Sundays and holy days and all that kind of thing. So I actually kind of really felt for her. But at the same time, I think the giveaway for me was I'm their only daughter of 7 children and they hold me to a different standard. And I go, why? Does that mean your brothers are okay? They don't go to mass as often as they should. I really think she has to kind of woman up and actually approach her parents and say, without hurting them, that religion isn't as isn't as important to her, because I know it's important that she keeps them on side. Yeah. and she doesn't hurt them, but that she doesn't do the rituals as much as she used to. She doesn't need to. It doesn't lessen her faith or her belief. And that when she's home, she does it out of respect for her parents. End of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dagger?
Well, I agree with Eilish that many of us were brought up, you know, with a different perspective than the one we'd have now.
Yes.
And, you know, definitely was a more of a church-going person when I was seven.
Yeah, me too.
Till they kicked you out, Dagger.
First Fridays, they were my main thing.
Till they kicked you out, yeah.
I left.
They said if you did 9 First Fridays, you couldn't go to hell. So I did 9
okay,
First
well
Fridays.
Done. then why are we in hell now? All jokes aside, people have, you know, they do have genuine convictions about their beliefs, but I don't think it is fair or acceptable when those beliefs are foisted onto other people, regardless of whether they're their children or not.
Right.
And most of us as adults, when we were younger, had to push back at some of the rules that our parents had or some of the opinions they had. Mm-hmm. Whether it was about where they wanted me to go to school or whether, you know, they thought it was a good idea that you became a rock and roll star, Tom, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
These opinions that they have, that's just them being adults. That's just them having their opinions, and their worldview is their worldview. Your own worldview is never going to match. So it doesn't matter whether it's about whether you believe in the Virgin Mary or whether you believe in astrology or whether you believe in anything. You know, that's not relevant. What's relevant is that you're just trying to be your own individual person.
Yeah.
And that's always going to clash against the person that your parents kind of want or expected you to be.
Okay.
And in this instance, I think, you know, pretending to be somebody that you're not is, and I really relate to that. Like, you know, you want your parents to be proud of you. You want your parents to feel that they did a good job in bringing
you
up.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to be leading an inauthentic life. So from this person's point of view, I think it's just, this is a slow burner.
Yes.
This is, yes, by all means, do that. I'll show up and I'll go to Christmas Mass and I'll do this at the weekends and all that. People have done that for generations in this country, going off to Mass while not really feeling the vibe. You know, they're there in body, but not in spirit, if I can use the terminology. And so from that point of view, I think, yeah, just go along with it. But like, don't take it too seriously. If it's not real to you, don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
It's letting them know, though, isn't it? It's just saying a little something
to them. I think this is her problem. She feels that she's not being honest to them. And I think she can be honest to them and not necessarily disrespect them. So by saying, look, I don't need the rituals anymore. I'm really happy with the way I, you know, live my life and the faith that I have.
Yes.
And that's as simple as that.
And it's a kind of personal thing with
me. It's not a personal thing. And when I come home, what I've been doing is I have been attending Mass and doing the rosaries and so on and so forth, out of respect for you guys. Really has been out of respect for you because I love you.
Yeah.
I think from this person's point of view, though, is that they're afraid that their parents have some kind of ironclad, you know, truth on their side. When in fact, you know, even within religion, people disagree with each other, like the news the other day, that the Irish Catholics have a different opinion than what the Vatican has and all that kind of stuff. So I think from that point of view, she just being honest isn't as terrifying as maybe what she's building it up to be.
Exactly.
Have a quiet word, Bessie. Yeah. I really want to get this one in because someone needs a bit of a red card shown to them here. 5 months ago, I shared a kiss with a man who I've known for years in a pub. He has a girlfriend and I knew about it and we were both very drunk and all of our inhibitions went out the window. I've never had so much remorse and regret for something that I've done in my life. I can't believe I allowed myself to do that and potentially ruin his relationship. He told me that night that he wanted to be with me and he has wanted to be with me for a very long time and I believe him. Stop laughing. I think I've read enough of it. Since that night, however, every time I see him in our local pub, he avoids me.
We
haven't spoken since.
Shocker.
The other day I was scrolling through Facebook and up pops a tagged picture of him and his girlfriend standing in front of the Eiffel Tower. The caption was, "I said yes. I feel so confused and conflicted. Do you think I should tell his fiance what happened?"
Absolutely no way.
No.
What you do is you send them a nice card congratulating them on their engagement and they hope they live happily ever after. I mean, she's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah.
She felt really bad about the fact that she never felt such remorse having kissed this guy, right?
Yeah.
That she had known for 5 years. admittedly, they're both drunk. He tells her he wants to be with her. Of course he does, because he wants more than the kiss, right? He's going to tell you anything. So, and it didn't, obviously didn't happen. You haven't seen him then, and then suddenly, when you do see him, he ignores you. That's the alarm bells, girl. He didn't mean what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're about to spoil this woman's happiness.
Exactly.
No.
Well, a lot of life lessons. A lot of harsh life lessons there in that one night.
Tell her, like you said, the news said there's no sting in this show. So, look, I think there's a little bit of self-delusion going on with this letter here. I think that, you know, this sensation of, like, remorse and regret is actually, you know, feeling a little bit marginalised from this, what this guy is actually doing. She's slowly coming to the realisation that he didn't mean a word he said.
Exactly.
And that's why
rejection.
She's confused and feeling a bit rejected. Just get over it. Move on. Don't even say, you know, the card thing is a nice gesture.
I think it's a lovely gesture.
Yeah, that make you feel like you're above the whole thing.
And also, when he sees when he sees the postcard phone, the letterbox, sees who it's from.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Well, there's
with
a bit of comedy.
Return address on it.
Yeah. Let me read this first. Yeah.
Genius.
This guy's look at this. Yes, God.
Yes,
well,
that's a great idea.
One little night out that you'll never forget. That I said yes photograph front of the after. I'm sure I've seen that on Twitter. So
really?
I think I might even know this.
I think getting engaged at the Eiffel Tower isn't exactly like a.
Do you know that doesn't narrow it down?
It's a big cliched, really.
Yeah, it doesn't narrow it down.
It does really.
No. You're so right.
Well, if that's the case, and they're listening, she knows now anyway.
All right, Declan, thank you very much indeed. Irish, absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us, Declan Buckley and Irish Carl in the Sting Free. So you think you're in that one? Definitely coming up next is the death of the dining room. Definitely.
As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.